The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or of the host of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and of topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you live from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Dr. Tom Bosma, holistic dentist, about dental sleep medicine. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based, practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. So let's talk about some health tips in the news that relate to memory this week. And this is from Prevention Magazine, the September 2012 issue. It talks about age-proofing our brains. Unfortunately, most of us will eventually develop plaques and tangles in our brains, warning signs of Alzheimer's. But new research is encouraging, and it says that we can actually counteract those effects by living a life with purpose. Someone who is focused on having meaningful experiences has about a 30% less cognitive decline over 10 years. And this is according to researcher Patricia Boyle at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. Curious about what types of meaningful experiences? Well, how about volunteering? How about a mission trip to a foreign country, or tutoring a child? Service of any kind provides purpose and meaningful experience. Positive behaviors promote cognitive health as we age, says Dr. Boyle. Well, it's now time to introduce our guest, and Dr. Tom Bosma is our guest this evening, once again, a holistic dentist. He's been in private practice in general dentistry in Montgomery, Ohio, for the last 32 years. Over 28 of those years, he's evolved that practice into the diagnosis and treatment of head and neck pain disorders. He is a fellow in the American Academy of Pain Management and a fellow in the Academy of General Dentistry and a good friend. Welcome, Dr. Tom, to Your Holistic Health.
Hello, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about some heralding sleep statistics here, which will probably come as no surprise to our listeners. There are 18 million people in the United States that suffer from sleep apnea. There are 40 million who have some type of chronic sleep disorder, we're told. We need 8 hours of sleep a night. Yes, that is absolutely true, even though the world is trying to short-circuit that. More when you're younger, at our age, which we won't disclose that on air, is, again, 8 hours. If you're not getting enough sleep, guess what? You might have more of an impact in the area of risk, car crashes, falling asleep at the wheel, falling asleep at the desk, irritability, memory loss, high blood pressure, lots of other things we're going to talk about in a few minutes. So sleep is important, and I'm sure that there's a connection between dentistry and sleep, or you would never come on this show, right?
Correct.
So what is dental sleep medicine, and how did you get started in this, and why?
Well, as you mentioned, I've been treating pain patients for a long time, and the majority of my patients over the years had chronic sleep disorders, too. And as our knowledge grew in that area, I began to focus more and more on correcting the sleep dysfunction. And as I did that, I found that their pain disorders just miraculously went away, whether it be headache or TMJ problems or head and neck pain, and that the sleep seemed to be more foundational to them feeling better and hurting less. So my treatment times with patients dropped significantly. So in the last 12 years, I've focused more on the sleep quality issue than I have on anything else. And I find, as you said, that the design of the human body is perfect, and people do heal. And age does not seem to be a factor with that. So focusing on sleep has been a wonderful advancement for me and my patients, and we're having a much higher level of success now.
That's awesome. Well, you know, restorative sleep is essential. It's not nice if we can have it on occasion or on most days of the week. It's just, as you said, foundational. And restorative means REM sleep, or rapid eye movement, which is the deepest type of sleep where you dream. And when you talk about sleep as part of our body's perfect nourishment, or one of the perfect nutrition elements, if you will, figuratively speaking, I'm going to piggyback on that with a scripture from Proverbs 3:24, which says, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." So the good Lord wants us to have that restorative, sweet sleep.
Yeah, people with sleep disordered breathing don't have sweet sleep, though. Rather, they have fearful sleep, and the brain triggers the fight or flight response repeatedly through the night, thinking that the individual is suffocating when they stop breathing. And so the nervous system is extremely vigilant and hyperreactive, and the deep levels of sleep escape those people, and that leads to chronic fatigue. So in the absence of good restorative restful sleep, we all know that our immune systems falter, and we're at more risk for infection, disorders, or dysfunctions.
Well, let's talk about a particular type of sleep disorder, obstructive sleep apnea. And I'm sure that people have heard about this and may have some familiarity with that fancy machine called CPAP, but maybe not with regard to the oral appliances that you frequently use. Let's have a little bit of talking about that, please.
Well, with sleep apnea, it basically involves the collapse of throat muscles during sleep. And if the patient gets into a deeper state of sleep, or they're trying to get into REM or deep delta sleep, the skeletal muscles enter a state of near paralysis. That's just something we've known for over two decades. When those muscles relax, the airway can collapse for some people, choking off the airway and it causing gasping and snoring as the body fights for air. So severe sleep apnea can produce hundreds of such episodes every night, depleting the body of oxygen.
Well, you know, that sounds brutal.
It is brutal, and it leads to a chronic state. As the brain continues to try to keep the person out of a deep sleep so they don't choke, it does so using adrenaline release in the bloodstream, which then creates the conditions of insomnia. But so many people... it's like trying to sleep with a pot of coffee in your system. It's just not easy to fall asleep, or if you do wake up in the middle of the night, then it's hard to get back to sleep.
Does the architecture of the neck or the throat or the tongue something change as we age? I mean, why is this that so many people are suffering?
Well, I think some of it may have to do with just genetics and, the structural differences between mother and father and how the offspring may vary. But there are certain types of head, neck, and throat anatomy that do predispose a person to obstructive sleep apnea. And learning to identify those telltale types of architecture on film and so forth is very helpful in our field to knowing who's at greatest risk. And but with to get back to one of your early comments or questions, you know, how did I get involved with it? Well, how about how did dentists get involved with it? And basically, the dental profession is the only one that has a set of skills that allow us to manipulate the position or posture of the jaw and or tongue. And if we can create a more open airway by changing tongue and jaw position, then we can impact the entire aspect of sleep architecture and sleep quality. And that's what we do, because our skill set enables us to do those things for people.
All right, so let's tee up a scenario, a typical scenario. Let's say someone's spouse suggests that he or she go get that snoring evaluated or whatever, suspecting sleep apnea. And I understand you work with a qualified physician in that diagnosis of obstructive sleep apnea, so they'll probably have a sleep study, would be my guess. And perhaps there will be a recommendation to come to you. And there are choices, of course. Again, the CPAP machine or oral appliance. How do you feel about the oral appliance in terms of longevity? Meaning, does that have in and of itself a tendency to change teeth alignment over time? Or do you have to worry about anything like that as opposed to a CPAP?
The CPAP works by using air pressure to basically blow an opening through a collapsed airway. And if the pressure of the CPAP machine, which stands for continuous positive airway pressure, if that unit is not running at such a high level that it disrupts or awakens the patient, then it's fairly well tolerated, and the CPAP technology is excellent. It works very, very well. But only about 50% of the people who try it find that they like it. It's kind of a love-hate thing. Either you love the CPAP or you can't stand it. A lot of the patients that come to us have CPAP intolerance, and their physician or the sleep physician will refer them in for a dental appliance to use that approach to open the airway. And a lot of times I encourage the patients to go back to the CPAP at a much lower setting, because our appliances can open and manage the airway for the patient without any effort on their part at all. Then they don't need as much pressure from the CPAP.
But you don't use both together, right? You don't use the oral appliance and CPAP?
Quite interestingly, myself, I do use both. I'm a very, very severe sleep apneic, and I actually stop breathing an average of 73 times per hour. And I was able to get that down to about 16 events per hour with my appliance, but in the last 2.5 years I've added CPAP, and now I'm down to 0.5. So the quality of my life and my energy level, I'm 58, and I feel 10 times better and more alive than I did when I was 40.
You don't look a day over, 40.
Bless you.
No, I'm being serious.
I looked a lot older at 40 than I do now, I think.
You do. Well, I haven't seen you for a while.
So for some people, if you're what I call a high moderate to a severe apneic, the current thinking in sleep medicine today is that combination therapy with CPAP and appliances works the best.
Are both covered by insurance if used together or separately?
That will vary with the patient's individual coverage. A lot of plans cover dental appliances if CPAP is not tolerated. CPAP is basically covered for all people, basically. Very few people don't have that coverage. And the coverage for dental has gotten quite good in the last few years.
All right. That's good to know, because I bet there's a lot of people out there that would, but for the lack of coverage, if expected, may just need to hear that to be the tipping point to go in and get studied.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about snoring. There's a lot of jokes that are tossed about with snoring, but here's some actual facts that are very interesting, I think. Both men and women are more likely to snore as they age. However, men apparently become less likely to snore after the age of 70. So ladies, just hang in there. Just hang in there a little longer. Alcohol, drugs, muscle relaxers, and tobacco products contribute to snoring for both men and women. Obesity, here's one more reason not to be obese, actually promotes snoring, because there's more, I guess, more fatty tissue in the back of their throats.
Yes.
So, you know, controlling weight is important. Here's a cute little fact. Pregnancy can also increase a woman's propensity to snore. Well, you know, I understand there are a couple of new studies that just came out looking at, you know, sleep apnea, perhaps snoring association with cancer risk. And I want you to tell our listeners a little bit more about those studies, please.
Yeah, there were two studies, and they were presented in May at the American Thoracic Society International Conference in San Francisco. And the one came from researchers in Spain who followed thousands of patients at sleep clinics and found that those with the most severe forms of sleep apnea had a 65% greater risk of developing cancer of any kind. And they even looked at the association between cancer and other things like age and smoking and alcohol use and physical activity and weight, and they factored those out. And even factoring out those factors, the association between cancer and disordered breathing at night remained even after they adjusted these variables out. The other study came out of the University of Wisconsin, where they it's called the Wisconsin Sleep Cohort, and it has been going on since 1989. And they have been looking at data on state workers in Wisconsin in this long-running study. And they've undergone extensive overnight sleep studies and other following other measures of health every 4 years. They found that the more severe a person's breathing problems at night, the greater the likelihood of dying from cancer. People with moderate apnea were found to die of cancer at a rate double that of people without disordered breathing at night, while those in the severe category of apnea died at a rate 4.8 times that of those without the sleep disorders.
Well, there you have it. There's proof positive that if you're suspecting that you might have sleep apnea, get it checked out. There's no question that it's going to be a good health choice in the long term. Well, Dr. Tom, we're going to take a quick break here. If you're just listening to a broadcast, this is Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a live broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking with Dr. Tom Bosma, holistic dentist of Montgomery, Ohio. And our topic is dental sleep medicine, with a focus on obstructive sleep apnea and sleep disorders. Well, Dr. Tom, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the connection between sleep apnea and long-term risk for cancer, which is very impressive in these two brand new studies that just came out. But there are other conditions that may also, as I understand it, be related to sleep apnea untreated. Let's give a quick mention of those. They include diabetes, perhaps reflux disease. We mentioned earlier high blood pressure, headaches, migraines, even seizures. Do you see any of that in your office practice?
I see a lot of it. I see the seizure disorders more commonly in children, younger children. We've had several kids who had non-responsive seizure disorders to medication that when we made some nighttime devices for them, the seizure disorders immediately abated.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah, there's quite a disruption of the balance of the nervous system when it's forced to be vigilant 24 hours a day guarding the airway, and especially at night. And it gets so fatigued and disrupted that brain chemistry shifts. And that's the theoretical understanding of why it might be related to sleep-disordered breathing, although they don't have proof of this yet. Being a clinical dentist and not a research dentist, to me, results are what matter. And so if I do a device in a child and their seizures go away or their ADD symptoms go away, sleep dysfunction, bedwetting, things like that, in a child who's 8, 9, 10, 11, that's what I care about.
You know, I'm sure there are a lot of parents listening tonight that are going to be so encouraged by this information and may have never even thought that their child could be suffering from something related to poor sleep or sleep architecture in the oral cavity.
We actually use a pediatric sleep questionnaire that was just released in April of 2011, and it was the result of a university study, and I forget the university right now. It might have been Tufts, I'm not sure. And it has 22 questions that one of the parents would fill out about their child, and if they check off a positive response to 8 or more questions, then there's a high likelihood that there's a sleep-disordered breathing issue with that child. Not necessarily apnea, but an issue with disruption of good quality sleep. And so we use various different screening tools in our practice to see who might be at risk and then take the appropriate steps to move into more diagnostic testing at that point, which, you know, we could refer to a sleep center for sleep study, for instance. So and I work on occasion with Children's Hospital with their sleep and their ear, nose, and throat department down there, and we've shared quite a number of patients with them.
Well, do you see this practice of dental sleep medicine only growing as time goes on? And if so, is it going to become more integrated into traditional medical practice and that community?
Sleep medicine is desperately trying to get dentists involved because we have the unique opportunity. We see 65% of patients of people in this country at least once a year, if not twice. And so people are used to coming to dentists for preventive needs in their dental health. So we see a lot of people. And as a result, we have the opportunity to screen people for sleep disorders and get them referred on to the physicians for more diagnostic testing. So I think that's a really reason why dentists are involved, as well as our skill set. I work a lot with some local ear, nose, and throat physicians and closely with Bethesda Tri-Health Sleep Centers. And we refer to each other, and we work together for a better result that way.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if one gets one of these oral appliances, is it called like an oral systemic balance therapeutic system? Did I get that right?
Well, that's one aspect of training, yes, that I spent about 8 years doing. There are a lot of different systems in dentistry, and there are as many different devices. In my particular hands, there's 3 or 4 that I use on a routine basis, that being one. Depends on the age of the patient, depends on, you know, are they a child with primary teeth, or are they a child and they're starting to get adult teeth, so they're kind of in a mixed dentition phase, or are they an adult? Or is it a child who is in braces, and how do you do an appliance in a child who's wearing braces? Adults, a little bit easier. We have pretty much standard devices. The one we use is FDA-approved for sleep apnea. And our goal is to get the device comfortable to the extent that the patient can move the jaw freely at night. They can talk, they can swallow, they can yawn. The appliance feels wonderful when it's in, and it may take me a week or two to get it that wonderful, but we do strive to get it. It's not, in my office, a question of people getting used to something.
You know, interestingly, I recently referred a patient to you, one of my patients to you, and I'm so excited to know if, well, first of all, if the patient actually followed through, but let me just kind of share with our listeners why this was a referral. Here's an individual who for over 50 years had been suffering, is still suffering from high blood pressure, is on five different medications to control that blood pressure, and it's still not working. Was evaluated with a sleep study and found to be sleep apneic, fitted with a CPAP, and not sure where we're at with that at the present time. But I did suggest also an oral appliance and a visit to you because I knew of your work. And I did have, I have also heard, as you expressed earlier, that not everyone can tolerate CPAP all the time and that it seemed reasonable to have an either-or approach. But his desire and my prayer and my hope is that this intervention or these interventions are going to revolutionize his life and get him off, if not all, at least some of those medications.
Well, a lot of times the dosing is able to be reduced by the patient's cardiologist, and some of the medications that can actually worsen the oxygen levels in the blood by slowing heart rate can be switched to other meds if you get that airway situation in the corrected so that they're not having the apneic events. And that's been my experience with a lot of cardiac patients is that many of their medications are able to be reduced in time over a period of the first 3 to 6 months by their physicians as they respond better and better to the medications that they're on and maybe even eliminate some of them.
I love it. Dr. Tom, we're all out of time. We're in the last minutes of our show. Where can our listeners go for more information about you and about dental sleep medicine?
I can suggest two things. The Academy of Sleep Medicine website, which is aasm.org, and the Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine, that website is aadsm.org. My website is montgomerydentalmedicine.com, and I have all those links listed at my site, and I have also a lot of articles and interesting short writings about the things we've talked about and even some more detail to help educate patients to evaluate and take a simple screening questionnaire test online and see if they have a high likelihood of sleep disorder breathing.
Thank you so much for your love of the community and this special gifted practice. And thanks again, Dr. Tom Bosma, for being our guest tonight on Your Holistic Health.
Thank you for having me.
This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. You're invited to my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com for another library of health-related articles that I've written just for you. Please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Donal O'Mahuna, a pharmacist from Ireland, talk about herbs and dietary supplements on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.